The word of the Lord from Isaiah chapter 25, verses 6 through 9. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees will be refined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. For the Lord hath spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him. He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him, and we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The text for our gospel proclamation comes from the Old Testament prophecy of Isaiah that I just finished reading for you and serves as the basis of our theme for the 20th Sunday after Pentecost. Jesus is the Death Eater. There comes a time in most everyone's life when we make a mistake so bad it negatively affects our lives in ways we surely would have avoided had we not made the mistake to begin with. Maybe we were a careless driver and the resulting accident caused our insurance to go up or the loss of our driving privileges or even worse. But then an advocate arises from the ashes of our destruction that helps us redeem some of the privilege or restore some semblance of our shattered lives. To us, they become a savior from the situation we've caused. Or you made that fatal clerical error at the office that resulted in thousands, if not tens of thousands of dollars in loss. And the next trip to the manager's office is most certainly your last, with your final check waiting for your arrival at their desk. But then somebody sidled up to you on the way back from the office and said they put your resume in at Widgets and More Incorporated. And they knew you were the perfect fit for a job they were trying to fill. And that friend becomes your beacon of hope on a bleak and hopeless day. Or maybe you had that moment when you made a big mistake and your kids came to visit and they insisted it was time to give up the keys to the car and that living independently was no longer an option. Your future looked confusing and uncertain at best. But then that one friend in your life that knows you better than any of your kids do walked you through your options, emphasized your ongoing independence, and helped you to see the light at the end of the day's dismal tunnel. No, it wasn't what it was before, but in a way unforeseen to you, it ends up being even better. Better than you imagined, at least. Dare we even say, a blessing. And you have that shining example of a friend who helped you walk through the process, leading you to a life you never realized was waiting for you. Today, in our Old Testament prophecy of Isaiah, Yahweh is that friend, and the Judeans made that mistake. Here they sat in Babylon, knowing all too well, yep, we made the fatal mistakes, and the consequences are real, are really awfully real. Their mistake was longing after the Canaanite gods like Baal and Mott. Y'all know very well from the events of Exodus, a golden calf was worshipped while Moses was away on Mount Sinai receiving the commands of Yahweh. Baal was a god that's image was a bull. They may have been thinking they wanted Yahweh to give them what they, like Baal, promised them: rain, good crops, plenty of grain, and fertile flocks. Even though Moses ground up the golden calf and made them drink it mixed with water, they never forgot their longing for this image of a god that just gave the people what they wanted. And their false worship persisted in offense to the one true God that always gave them what they needed. If getting what they wanted wasn't enough, and it never is, they finally degraded themselves to worshiping the worst of gods, the Canaanite god Mot, the god who swallows his believers through death. Isaiah specifically confronts this false god in our prophecy today. The people bowed down to him, ironically honoring a god who promised them nothing more than death. Indeed, death came as a consequence of their adoration. You know, most often you realize the consequences of your action when the result of your actions is your imminent death. How many times have we held the hand of a loved one with death on the horizon directly attributed to tainted habits, reckless living, or unhealthy lifestyle choices? No one that drives recklessly should be surprised when their car is wrecked. That's the consequences. We've all heard our parents and grandparents say, only we did not know that they were praying that the next consequence would not be death. Sometimes our actions lead us to death's bed quicker than we would have otherwise gotten there in God's good time. One of my professors at seminary, God rest his soul, once responded to a classmate of mine who suggested it's pointless wearing a seatbelt because God only takes his children to heaven in his good time. Well, Professor Gerald Eichmann replied, how do you know he won't take you to heaven for being stupid enough not to wear your seatbelt? We do well to manage our lives carefully for the sake of Christ so we may live to share his gospel. Jeremiah 31:15 recounts the result of Judah's reckless worship of the god of death, saying, a voice is heard in Ramah, lamentations and bitter weeping. Rachel is weeping for her children. She refuses to be comforted for her children because they are no more. As the people of Judah were carried off into captivity, the Babylonian armies forced them on foot to Ramah, where thousands upon thousands died because of their forced march. Isaiah comforts the forlorn former followers of the Canaanite god Mot with the promise of a feast that will swallow up false god who swallows his followers through death. Isaiah promises redemption for the descendants of Rachel, whose memory was baptized by her tears. Through Isaiah, Yahweh promises that even though our duty to death has done us dirty, by the almighty hand of God, our redemption is at hand. For Yahweh will save all humankind. The death that rules over everyone has been undone. Oh, Rachel, your loved ones you wept for in the death march, the ones that died in captivity without ever seeing home again, and those still living with the memories of their homeland dying before their eyes, there is hope. You know, many think that they're living today, but they're simply putting off dying. With an acronyms like YOLO, you only live once, lives are led in anticipation of inevitable death. So eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow we die. And the Canaanite god Mot is raised in homage to a life lived with no hope of life beyond the grave and little regard for the eternal consequences of their actions. To this reckless crowd, the Redeemer calls out for peace in their hearts and forgiveness for a life led with way too many regrets. When a young lady enters the Planned Parenthood clinic with a plan for life without parenting the baby in her womb at all, the doctor serves as a priest of the Canaanite god Mot, who worships the death of the living and the despair of a frightened little girl. A godly community weeps over the death of the infants, but always seeks to forgive the girl and work with her so all the unborn may live to be baptized, catechized, and ready to rise for the worshiping of the true God of life. And when generations of kids bow down to the tenets of secular humanism because the potential of humankind and evolution of the world without the touch of our Creator's hands surely is how we will succeed as the human race. The philosophy of Mott is their end because no matter what they do, they cannot cheat death. To them, the way and the truth and the life eternal comes not from their own ambition, but rather from an ambitious God that makes them what they never dreamed they could be, corruptible creatures redeemed by their true Creator. Isaiah prophesies to them all today, "Your life of death has been swallowed up, and an eternal feast waits for God's eternal creations. You only live once. Isaiah promises you will live forever." Doctors of death, Isaiah foreshadows baptized babies filling the pews with wails of praise to the living God. Anthems of atheists, Isaiah makes it clear, there is a God. He is your God of life and eternal living to the fullest. Matthew chapter 2:18 picks up on the deaths in Ramah and ushers in the ultimate fulfillment of the undoing of Rachel's weeping. On December 28th, we remember the holy innocents that died, not only in Ramah, but also the male children in Bethlehem who suffered at the hands of the evil King Herod, who in his attempt to murder our God, begotten of Mary, worshipped unwittingly at the altar of the Canaanite god Mott, making the death of the children his sacrilegious sacrament. But our God in the flesh would swallow up the Canaanite god Mott. He would devour Herod's deviousness. He would wipe our tears of mourning with his nail-pierced hands, conquering the most devastating implement of death the world has ever known, so that cross would no longer be an implement of death, but rather the symbol of eternal life for all who gazed upon it and knew Jesus died for them there. Our Jesus would eat the death Satan devised, bringing us the living, eternal, happy life with him. If Mott was the death giver, Jesus is the death eater that has undeniably brought us to resurrection life in him. Amen. Now may that peace which surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus always. Amen.